Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, February 19th, 2016. I'm Jason Powell, joined today by Jake Barnett. We'll bring in Jake momentarily. On the website today, results of the Ring of Honor show, the first of two nights in Tokyo, Japan, as well as last night's NXT event that saw Austin Aries teaming up with Finn Balor in the main event. It was Balor's first night back from injury. That show was in Philadelphia. We are looking for correspondence for all of the NXT weekend events, if you can help us out. As always, contact me via email at dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. All right, let's bring Jake into the show. We're going to be getting to his Fastlane predictions a little bit later on, and we're also going to be talking about The Undertaker today, the question of the week follow-up. But let's start with last night's SmackDown, Jake. You covered it live at ProWrestling.net, so people can check out your full report on that on the main page. But your thoughts on this as an over as a go home show?
You know, SmackDown felt fairly flat to me last night. I mean, they tried to do some stuff ahead of time by advertising Brock Lesnar and setting up the tag match with the Dudleys and Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, but honestly, I don't think they covered any new ground. I mean, I was surprised to see that Lesnar, despite being advertised for the show, really only appeared to interfere in the already announced main event. He didn't have another interview or any other scheduled appearance. So overall, I wasn't terribly impressed with the way that they went home last night. I mean, it was nice to see Lesnar on SmackDown, and it made the show feel a little bit bigger, but I felt like it was sort of a missed opportunity there.
I liked the closing segment a lot. I liked the dynamic between Paul Heyman and Dean Ambrose. There were elements of this show that I liked. It just hasn't felt for Fastlane. At no point has it felt like there's a sense of urgency to sell people on the show. It just kind of feels like a mediocre build. That said, I don't know, maybe you'll disagree, Jake. I like the go-home edition of SmackDown a heck of a lot more than I like the go-home edition of Raw.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I mean, I think there was better wrestling on SmackDown this week, and I think they managed to keep things interesting with a couple of the backstage segments. The one between Becky and Sasha was kind of interesting, the one you pointed out between Dean Ambrose and Paul Heyman. But, you know, just overall, it hasn't really felt like there was a concerted effort to sell you on Fastlane, whether you were watching Raw or SmackDown.
The Miz keeps having competitive matches now, first with AJ Styles, now with Jericho. Do you think that lasts? Do you think that they suddenly have any interest in doing something with Miz, or are they just billing television time?
It's a good question. I mean, I think the Miz has been good lately. I think he's done a good job of getting under people's skin on the microphone. I mean, we know he's pretty good in the ring. I mean, he's had very good matches with Jericho and AJ Styles, and I think he's a fairly, you know, well-rounded performer. So I know they can get more out of him than they have been. Whether they have the desire to do so is anybody's guess.
One of the little things last night that I was open-minded to the idea of Brie Bella challenging for the championship, not just at Fastlane, but at WrestleMania, where they worked Daniel Bryan into the corner to counter Ric Flair. After watching last night's show, I came away feeling like this is a one-and-done, and that they are going to have Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks in there, mostly because they were, you know, they keep winning, for one thing, and even in singles matches against the team that they're facing this weekend on the pay-per-view, but also because they were talking about their WrestleMania moment backstage. I don't know how seriously you ever took the possibility of Brie challenging at Mania, but did you come away feeling the same? Am I reading too much into that?
I don't think you're reading too much into it. It seems like they're definitely setting up, you know, Becky and Sasha for a WrestleMania moment. Whether that's, you know, all four of these women getting involved in a fatal four-way match, I have no idea. But it seems like it could be a possibility. We're going to see, you know, the Divas tag match between, you know, Sasha and Becky, and then the four, you know, the still remaining members of Team Bad. And then, you know, who knows what group of those women might interfere in the Divas Championship match. You know, we could see any number of them out there. So I'm still thinking that we're probably going to get quite a few women on the WrestleMania card, maybe, you know, another tag match and a singles match for the championship, or perhaps we see, you know, a whole bunch of women crammed into that title match.
How did the Dudleys come out of SmackDown? I mean, they going, as you told me like 2 weeks ago, yeah, the main event of the go-home show is going to be Reigns and Ambrose against the Dudleys. I would have rolled my eyes, but of course we've had the heel turn, and they're they may be aligned with Paul Heyman. I'm not quite sure how to take this after them coming out on Monday and then Lesnar coming out on SmackDown at just about the time they were about to be beaten by Ambrose and Reigns.
You know, I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm not sure what to think about the potential alliance with Paul Heyman. I mean, the announcers seem to raise that as a possibility. So, I mean, I guess there's two ways you could look at that. Either, you know, they're foreshadowing, or it's just a red herring. We really don't know. But I haven't really, you know, been lit on fire by the promos thus far. I was really hoping, based on the rumors, that WWE was going to allow, you know, Bubba to kind of channel more of that Bully Ray persona we saw in TNA, that we'd get some more, you know, of that attitude. But thus far, it's still been fairly tame. And so, you know, and it feels like, maybe I'm crazy, but I think there was another period, you know, maybe it wasn't even in WWE at some point, where, you know, the Dudleys swore off using tables as a device to, you know, to turn heel. And so I, you know, a lot of it just kind of feels old hat thus far. But I think WWE seems to be taking them seriously. So hopefully they'll get a chance to, you know, to round off the edges on this thing and improve the act.
Do you feel like there's a chance that Bubba is intentionally playing it this way so that they get heel heat? And what I mean by that is not coming out there and just cutting that killer Bully Ray promo that I think a lot of people want to hear. Not that, maybe, you know, the casual fans would respond accordingly, but do you think there's some effort being made to make sure that the ardent fan doesn't just suddenly get behind the Dudleys, and we may get that promo style from him eventually, but not right away?
It's a possibility. I mean, he was doing, you know, some trash talking in the main event to Roman Reigns specifically, and you know, he seemed to be getting under his skin. So I'm optimistic about the Dudley's future, and perhaps they are sort of hedging their bets a little bit with the promo style in an effort to keep them, you know, from getting cheers, because, you know, we know how the smart fans seem to operate these days, and as soon as somebody starts going into a new heel persona, they want to get behind it. So it could be a concerted effort. I'm not sure that's exactly what they're doing, but I'm open to the possibility of it.
One thing I noticed last night, it jumped out at me in a big way, was the decision to have Dolph Ziggler lose the six-man tag match. They gave him momentum by having him win a couple of matches over Kevin Owens before Owens became Intercontinental Champion. And we praised him for it. It's like, assuming this was by design, because they book on the fly so much you never know, but I think it was. And so they deserve credit for that. But then they have him lose here. Granted, it was off a distraction, which is like the most overused finish in wrestling is the distraction. You had three guys in this match who aren't even advertised. And yes, I know it was a Kevin Owens distraction. Did this bother you as much as it did me? I just felt like you finally gave Ziggler a little bit of momentum, and now you're going to have him lose some let's fill a bunch of time at the beginning of SmackDown six-man tag match?
Yeah, it seemed out of place. I mean, I guess maybe they were doing kind of a quid pro quo with the whole, because Ziggler had cost Kevin Owens several matches, you know, televised matches over the past few weeks, and then perhaps they were just sort of doing some kind of a revenge angle for that. But I don't know. I mean, did Sin Cara, would he have lost anything by taking the pin? No. So I don't know why they had to go this route, other than they wanted to keep the focus of the finish on, you know, the Owens and Ziggler story heading into Fastlane.
Yeah, I think that I just would have had, heck, I would have had Ziggler go over on Sheamus or Rusev, one of the two guys who aren't scheduled to do anything at the pay-per-view, and then had Owens just drop him with a pop-up powerbomb afterward. I think they would have had the same effect without derailing whatever momentum Dolph has. The style, we touched on The Miz, but did you come out of this more excited about AJ Styles against Chris Jericho than you did going in?
Not really, to be honest with you. I thought they got a little cute with the whole refusal thing, and then Styles had to rough him up a little bit before he got the answer that he wanted. Because, you know, Jericho kind of came out and played a babyface during his match with The Miz, and then, you know, after Styles roughed him up, he kind of got a little bit of a heelish react. I want them to have a little bit more confidence in which direction they have these characters playing, because I'm not sure, you know, which one of these guys I'm supposed to be rooting for at this point. I'm not a huge fan of those types of feuds.
Yeah, I mean, I think it will become clear on Sunday, but I just don't know. I like Jericho's final line about how AJ is going to regret this match. It may have just been a throwaway line. It may be foreshadowing. It's something that they're going to do on Sunday to really go full-fledged heel with Jericho. But we'll get to Fastlane in a minute. But my final question on SmackDown, and feel free to add anything else you have that I may not have gotten to, how much was Mauro Ranallo missed? Michael Cole filling in for Mauro, who had the flu.
I know I missed him. I mean, I think he tends to get a lot more information over on the microphone than Cole does. Just from a, I guess, from a stylistic standpoint, I think he calls a lot more of the action in the ring, whereas Cole tends to be a lot more conversational with the other announcers that he's working with, and so it ends up being more of a stream of consciousness kind of show with his presence than when it's Mauro. It feels like more of a sports show, and so I prefer Mauro, and I missed him quite a bit. I guess I don't know how much, you know, the general audience missed him, but I know there was quite a bit of fan apprehension when he decided, when he got sent home on Tuesday.
Yeah, he's so good at what he does, and if anyone missed it on Twitter, he did make it clear that he's still just a SmackDown guy. He's not the pay-per-view guy. He's not the Raw guy, with the kind of a comedic tweet. So no changes there. I certainly hope. I mean, Raw is what it is, and I've said before, if it's just going to be Vince meddling, and he's going to neuter Mauro the way he has so many broadcast team members, leave him on SmackDown. But I really hope he gets to call some pay-per-view matches at some point. I think it would be great for the product. Again, we will get to those Fastlane predictions in a bit, but I do want to get to the question of the week, which was, who should Undertaker face at WrestleMania 32 if John Cena is physically unable to perform? I'll read a handful of submissions. Jake, you can give your thoughts on whether or not you think these are realistic, and then also we will get into who we think. Who we would like to see, and I think we've touched on that before, but now that we've had a little more time, who we actually think the most realistic possibilities are. We'll start with Jason. I hope I'm not butchering this. Pesarvich. Jason Pesarvich, it looks like. He listed Samoa Joe. Jake, your thoughts on Joe and Taker?
It's definitely a possibility. I think Joe is one of those guys that he has the notoriety. He's done well in NXT. He can play a great heel. He's not one of those guys that's been ruined and by the WWE system and wouldn't be able to come up and get heat. So I think, if they wanted to go that route, they could certainly build Joe. Whether from a promotional standpoint that's a realistic opponent for The Undertaker, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I think even though he's lost matches in NXT lately, I don't think it's an issue. I think the fans who watch NXT, by and large, would be thrilled to see him on the main roster, regardless of how he's been utilized lately in NXT. And I think that his style would fit so well with Taker. I think you could get Joe over very quickly. I think people would be into it. And even the casual fan who somehow doesn't have familiarity with Samoa Joe, if they did it right, would be really into it. I'd like to see it. I don't think that's where they're going. Assassin 5 says Luke Harper. He does concede it would take some time some work to get there. But he says he's a big man who can sell and give Undertaker an awesome but safe match. And Jake, I think he's right. I don't think there's – and I'm guessing Assassin, I remember Assassin 5 also knows that, this isn't happening.
I'm in the same boat. I would love to see it. I'm a huge Luke Harper fan. I think he's one of the most underutilized guys on the roster, both from a in-ring and a talking standpoint. But it just doesn't seem like they see him in the light that would be required to place him in that important spot at WrestleMania.
Another one here from David. .NET member David from Middlesbrough, UK, says it's not likely, but I still think Roman Reigns as a heel or turning heel on that night. This has come up a lot. If he's not in the WrestleMania title match, then I would certainly wonder if that's the direction they're going. And I don't think they're going to go back to Brock Lesnar. I don't think they'd go with Dean Ambrose. So of the three guys in the triple threat match at Fastlane, Jake, I think he's the most realistic possibility. But I think they have bigger plans for him.
I'm not sure where Reigns fits into WrestleMania. My first instinct, of course, was just to say, well, he's going to be in the match against Triple H because that makes the most sense. They dedicated so much time to the story that they told, with him assaulting Triple H and then, the feud with the McMahon family and that whole thing. That, it just seems like once you've committed that much effort to it, you have to go with that. But, I could see Reigns in a match with Ambrose. I could see Reigns in the main event with Triple H. I guess I can't rule out anything at this point, you know, just based on, you know, the injuries and where people get slotted in at this WrestleMania. But I just don't see Reigns as a particularly strong opponent for The Undertaker. But, you know, I guess anything is possible at this point.
It would be an interesting match. I certainly love the idea of Reigns going heel. I think somehow, some way he fits into that Triple H thing. And we'll get to that here at the Fastlane stuff in a little bit. Last one, .NET member Fat Mike goes to the old reliable, the match we probably will never see, but with all the talk that somebody that's not on the WWE roster that's going to face Undertaker, Sting is Pat Mike's pick. And my God, Jake, every time I think we're done hearing about it, especially with Sting having a pretty serious neck injury, here it is again. People just, there are definitely fans that I think, while they've diminished in numbers, there are still fans who desperately want to see this match.
You know, we haven't heard anything about Sting in quite a while. I mean,
no.
I know he was scheduled to have surgery to address the issue that led to his.
He didn't know if it was going to be major surgery or relatively minor. I think is where they left it. He just knew he needed surgery.
Yeah, he knew he needed some surgery to relieve the spinal stenosis that was causing, the numbness and tingling in his limbs that caused the problems during his match with Seth Rollins. So, I mean, I guess if that was a minor surgery and it was a complete success and he's, you know, in much better health than anybody would expect him to be at this point, it's not something that you can completely rule out, because they need, you know, they need star power in a major way for this WrestleMania. So, can I say that I would make this match and that I would be confident that it would be, you know, a WrestleMania worthy match? Absolutely not. But I think, you know, if you were just building it as a spectacle, then perhaps you could make it work.
Yeah, I don't think it happened. I mean, he is going into the Hall of Fame. We know that much. But it's not a match that I want to see. There was a time when I was open to it. I never thought it was going to be a great in-ring match, but it was still, I thought the star power of the two would be enough that if they hit their signature spots and it was even a good match, just the spectacle of it all with the entrances and on the WrestleMania stage, it would carry it. People would come away satisfied. But I just, you know, with Sting, like you say, unless there's some really good medical news, I don't think it happens. Let's get into, before we get into the predictions, I do want to touch on who you actually think is going to be. Who, first off, who would you go with? And second of all, who do you think will be Undertaker's opponent?
I mean, you know, who would I go with? I mean, you know, in a complete fantasy scenario, I'm probably Nakamura.
Yeah.
Who do I think they're going with? I am absolutely clueless at this point. I mean, we've heard so many names tossed around. I mean, the internet has you search Undertaker's opponent for WrestleMania 32, and you could probably find, you know, two or three dozen different people thrown into that mix. I mean, Kurt Angle, Goldberg, Sting, you know, all the names that we just talked about. It seems like that everybody's been thrown out there, but I mean, I really don't know. You know, I guess if nothing happens with the main event on Sunday, maybe the guy who ends up being the odd man out in that match might take on Taker. So maybe one of those three. Ambrose seems like it would be a fun fit.
Yeah, I think Goldberg is interesting. He's expressed interest in doing it. He can be a hard guy to bargain with, and I don't think it's a. I don't say that as a negative about Bill Goldberg. I think he knows what he wants, and he's firm with it. The fact that they have so many injuries, the fact that they don't have to write as many big checks, you know, I think there is certainly room in the budget for a guy like Goldberg if his demands are even semi-reasonable. Angle's a guy that I'm keeping an eye on here, just because he is wrapping up his run in TNA. He has not finished wrestling. I think he's already has. I know he has an appearance lined up, and I think another match lined up too for post TNA. I think he's actually technically done with TNA as contractually, because he'll still be on TNA television through the while the UK stuff is still airing. But free agent, I think it's a match that people would be into. I think it would boost WrestleMania in a big way. I think there are enough people that would like to see Kurt Angle return that it would excite them. I just don't know what, other than desperation on WWE's on their behalf, I don't know what would have changed, because they've had chances to bring Kurt Angle back into the fold previously, and Jake, they just haven't done it. They haven't seemed to have had interest in him.
I can't blame them. I mean, I understand, you know, the appeal to fans of Kurt Angle, but I mean, the way that he left the company all those years ago, and you know, all of his addiction issues that he's been going through, and they don't know, you know, because of how, you know, the testing in TNA or the lack thereof, depending on, you know, who you ask, you know, they don't know what he's been doing to keep himself in ring shape. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of questions that would need to be answered before you could sign a guy like Kurt Angle. I mean, even if it's safe for to have him wrestle, you know, I mean, we don't know the state of his neck and what he's, you know, what he's been hiding from, you know, doctors or TNA or anybody. So it seems like it would be a very risky proposition, but I understand, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, why a lot of people would want to see it.
I think my answer is probably the same for both. I want to, and it's a bit of a reach. I think they still would like to see Undertaker, John Cena. And it's not like it's been high on my WrestleMania dream list of matches. It was when it came to, you could have John Cena turn, you could have him cost Undertaker the streak, and my God, what a turn that would be. But the streak is gone. I don't think they have any intention of turning John Cena. And so, I mean, it's a match that I think people will get excited by. It's certainly the match that Undertaker wants. It's the match that he wanted for, he wanted Cena to be his final opponent. The big question, obviously, is whether Cena can be ready for this, but I will play by the rules, since I said if John Cena isn't ready. I'm with you in Nakamura. I just think, you know, it took me a little bit. I know you watch a lot more. You've seen a lot more New Japan pro wrestling than I have. I've seen enough of Nakamura to know the guy's phenomenal. And people right away, when he went to WWE, were buzzing about that match possibility and just the spectacle of it all, and the entrances and all of that. I don't think it happens. I think if it's not John Cena, my guess is that I'm going to guess that it's not Brock. I'm torn here, but I'll just shoot for the sky, or, you know, shoot for the moon and say, we'll go Kurt Angle. Even though it seems like such a long shot, I'm kind of going against what I said here, but it's odd, the timing of it all, that he's a free agent. We haven't heard any report of him re-signing with TNA. There's been said to be some interest in TNA keeping him around as like an ambassador, and that hasn't happened yet. That said, we don't even know when TNA's next show is. They don't have anything advertised, so hopefully that will change soon. I admit it's a reach, but I mean, that's the buzz. It's somebody that's not on the roster, that's not in WWE. I mean, but I think a good list of candidates that the readers threw out. If I forgot anybody, I do apologize, but I'll have my next question of the week available for you on Monday. So in this same podcast, let's close it out, Jake, with your picks on the WWE Fastlane pay-per-view. And we'll start with some of the clunkier ones, and then we'll work our way up. Actually, we'll just work from the bottom of their list. This isn't a clunky one. This is as it shows, bottom to top on WWE's website. Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental title.
I'm going to pick Kevin Owens to retain here. I don't think they have, you know, enough of a reason to switch it on to Ziggler, and he's been so absolutely dead to me as a character for such a long time now that, I mean, it just doesn't seem like there would be much life in placing the Intercontinental Championship on him. I mean, they could go with some kind of screwy finish to set up, you know, another one of those crazy multi-man matches at WrestleMania that everybody fears them going with, like a ladder match or some kind of, you know, Money in the Bank type situation for the Intercontinental Championship. But I just see Owens retaining and then marching forward with him, you know, talking his way into another fun match at WrestleMania.
Let's see. Next up, Divas. It's the championship match is what they have listed. Charlotte against Brie Bella.
I don't see Brie Bella winning the championship here. I mean, I understand, you know, that there is a lot of you know, emotional support that people are going to have for her, given the fact that her husband just retired in a way that everybody was just heartbroken over, and you know, but that's really not where I see them going at WrestleMania. I think this year is about them making a statement with, this is our new Divas Division, these are our top female talents. They're going to be given time, and they're going to be given the, you know, all the leeway that they need to have a fantastic match. And I think that's going to be, you know, the statement they want to make with the Divas at WrestleMania. So I see Charlotte retaining and going on to face Sasha Banks and, you know, Becky Lynch or some combination thereof at WrestleMania.
And thus, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that you're going to pick Becky Lynch and Sasha to beat Naomi and Tamina.
Yes. Yeah, I think they get the victory there. Whether they have some type of implosion after the match is sort of up in the air. They came to an uneasy truce on SmackDown, and they agreed to put their differences aside for the match. But, of course, that doesn't apply once the pinfall is over with. So I see that exploding very quickly.
They're doing the New Day appearing on the Cutting Edge Peep Show. Obviously, this is being done to help promote the Edge and Christian show that will premiere on the network right after Fastlane. Any thoughts on this at all? I mean, I was talking with John Moore on .NET Weekly yesterday, and it's like, I asked him, does it lead anywhere? You know, could we get an impromptu tag title match on the show, not involving Edge and Christian, of course, but another team? And he's like, who is there? You know, there's really nobody that would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's the Dudleys, who have, you know, a long history with Edge and Christian and might see fit to butt into their show, because they're calling it the Cutting Edge Peep Show, and the New Day are the guests. But I'm just expecting mostly, you know, Edge and Christian to do their brand of goofy humor, and New Day to call them old men and tell them why they're all wrong.
This is the kickoff show match. It's Kalisto defending against Alberto Del Rio, the U.S. Championship, best of three falls. I don't think it's a completely original idea, but I've thrown it out there anyway. It's the idea that rather than cram this all into the kickoff show, you give a fall away on the kickoff show and it carries over to the pay-per-view. How realistic do you think that is? Do you think they'll be given a decent amount of time, and who wins?
I can't see them flopping the title here. I assume that we see Kalisto, you know, probably drop the first fall, and you know, it's probably fairly realistic to think that they might carry it over into the pay-per-view. But I'm just assuming we're gonna get a longer match on the kickoff show, simply because once something is advertised for the kickoff show, they usually try to keep it fairly self-contained to that. And so, you know, just because people watching on YouTube and watching on you know, other channels that aren't the WWE Network, you know, might be a little bit you know, feel a little bit fried by the fact that they would have to subscribe or sign
Screw
up for
Screw those freeloaders.
Well, I don't think WWE wants to irritate anybody, so I'm assuming that we'll see all three falls on the pre-show. But, you know, maybe if they announce, you know, if the pre-show comes on the air and they make that announcement that, you know, it's only the first fall or that's going to be on the network, they could pull that off. But I would assume not.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, that would be really awkward. We're going to do the first fall here only. I mean, you're just like, even with kayfabe being dead, that would be very, like, how do they know that they're going to be able to get it in? But no, I think you're probably right. I just thought it was a unique possibility to kind of carry a match over. But yeah, I think you would end up ruffling some feathers. But I don't think their feud is strong enough where people are going to be like, my God, I need to see the end of this match in order to suddenly order the WWE Network or the pay-per-view. Ryback, Big Show, Kane against the Wyatt family. It's a six-man tag match. It's the titans of WWE, apparently, against the Wyatt family.
You know, this really feels thrown together, and I'm assuming it's just a match to further assert the Wyatt family as being completely dominant. And so I'm guessing we see something fairly competitive for the first few minutes of the match, but I see the Wyatt family completely dominating this one, heading into the finish and picking up a victory.
I am very fearful. Bray Wyatt is the odd man out. He is not wrestling in this match. It's the other three. I'm fearful. We talked about Taker, that he interferes, and we somehow get some god-awful Undertaker involved in an eight-man tag match against the entire Wyatt family with the rest of the titans of WWE. It doesn't sound like that's the direction they're going in, but I really fear that, Jake.
Ooh, yeah, I mean, I don't know why they would go that route, but, I mean, unless Undertaker was in exceedingly poor health and couldn't work a singles match, but, yeah, that would be terrible.
Then we have AJ Styles against Chris Jericho, the rubber match.
I'm guessing Styles goes over clean here. I think they've set themselves up where, you know, Jericho has gotten a lot of mileage out of this. He won the second match, and they called it a wily veteran win. And I know, you know, the finish that we saw to that match wasn't supposed to be exactly what we saw. They had a miscue because of the ref picking up on Jericho's like leg or arm being under the rope, and that, you know, he was just supposed to pick up somewhat of a quick victory off of an AJ Styles mistake. So I don't think we were supposed to see Styles lose as clean as he did on that second attempt. And so I'm thinking he wins clean here and moves on to bigger and better things for WrestleMania.
Yeah, you know, I may have overthought this one, or may not have put enough thought into it, because it's like Jericho, he had that line about you'll regret this. He can lose the match and still make Styles regret it by turning heel on him afterward, having a complete meltdown if he loses this match. So that, yeah, definitely, that's a strong possibility. Main event, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and Brock Lesnar. Triple threat match. Winner goes on to face Triple H at WrestleMania.
It's got to be Roman Reigns. I mean, as much as I would like to see, you know, them shake things up and go with Dean Ambrose, I would think we're going to see, you know, Reigns win here, and then the Lesnar and Ambrose match happen at WrestleMania. It seems like they, you know, most of this match seems to be building up to a Lesnar and Ambrose match, and Reigns was just kind of playing a third fiddle here, and so I'm guessing he finds a way to win, and they set up a Lesnar and Ambrose match for WrestleMania.
Are you with me in feeling like, you know, you think about Fastlane just based on what they've done on television, it's kind of like, eh, whatever, but when you actually go through the card, this has the potential to be a very good show.
Yeah, I don't think they booked a poor show. I think they just getting here was a little bit kludgy at times. They really didn't seem like they had all cylinders firing on television from a storytelling standpoint, and hopefully that improves, you know, over the next 6 weeks heading into WrestleMania. But it seems like they just had an off month in terms of getting this right promotionally. It really fell off a cliff after they announced the triple threat match a couple weeks ago.
Hey, the .NET members are listening to the onehour.net weekly audio show that John Moore and I just recorded yesterday. We go into great detail on these WWE Fastlane matches, come up with some alternate finishes for the main event, some unique ones. At least one I don't think has been thrown out there as a possibility. I'll just say that it sets up a four-way, and you can find out how the hell we got to that. We didn't come to that official conclusion, just as I said, throwing out some alternate scenarios. That is available exclusively to the .NET members. The members are also listening to Darren Gutteridge's audio review of the Ring of Honor television show, and they're going to be hearing Jake and I get together on Sunday night after WWE Fastlane. We usually go anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour breaking down the WWE pay-per-view. That show will be available late Sunday night, so if you're up late, need some audio, great place to get it, or if you're on your way to work on Monday morning, and we'll help you get you through the worst day of the week, Monday. But all the membership information available on the main page at prowrestling.net. You'll find the sign-up area on the right side of your screen. Once you're in there, you'll see three different pricing options. One of them is the monthly rate of $7.50. You want to save some money, go with the six-month. You want to save the most money, go with the annual. That whittles the price down to $5.50 a month. It's WrestleMania season. Treat yourself to ProWrestling.net membership, the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, and you will hear tons of and tons of audio content on a weekly basis. Please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. That is always appreciated, and for that matter, as I've been saying, you can also just simply give us a retweet. Whenever I put out the link to this particular show, even a retweet is helpful. Whatever you can do to help spread the word. Speaking of Twitter, Jake, how can people follow you online?
They can find me at Barnett Jake, B-A-R-N-E-T-T, Jake.
All right. Well, Jake, thank you very much, and I will talk to you again on Sunday night after Fastlane.
Always a pleasure, man. Thank you.